Conflict. That's a fun word to start with, isn't it? Fights, arguments, disagreements. Truth is, if we are in relationship with other people, we deal with conflict. Lots. Big or small, or somewhere in between. Maybe in the household where you live, there is somebody who is unable to rest until all the jobs are done. And there is somebody else who likes to go back to things later. I'll just let that soak for a little while. Seem familiar? Maybe it's in a workplace and a deadline has been missed and all of a sudden there's this argument over whose responsibility was it? Or maybe you're at the supermarket and you saw a great special as you were going along, and then all of a sudden at the checkout, that special doesn't seem to apply. And there's frustration, and there is annoyance, and words are spoken that are not necessarily intended. See, we all deal with conflict. These are some fairly low-level things of conflict, but there are big and small conflicts that we all deal with. But the question is, what are we meant to do about it? Well, some examples of how you could deal with it. There is the two hammer technique, which might leave one person feeling okay and the other person feeling worse. More likely than not, it will leave both people feeling pretty poorly. And then there is a parent's favorite, the get-along shirt. I'm pretty sure that after a little while, you are going to start to work with the other person, even if it's just to get away from them. Now, I'm not saying that either of these methods are good. However, if any parents try the get-along shirt with teenagers, please let me know how it goes. That might be useful in my future. But we constantly deal with conflict. And the question is, how do we deal with it well? And so over the course of this year, we are going to be exploring this topic, and we've got a series that we're just going to pick up at various times throughout the year called Pursuing Peace, the Redemption of Conflict. Because we want to try and change our mindset around conflict to be something that it's not something that we avoid, that we run away from, that we are scared of, but instead we see it's something that God can work through. Because Jesus calls us as followers of him to be peacemakers in our lives. In our relationships with our family, in our workplace, in our schools, and here in this town, we are called to make peace. Not to avoid conflict, but to work through it. To the restored relationships on the other side. And so this year, as we explore this series, we are going to be drawing on the works and the work of Peacewise. And if you joined us for some of the Peacewise training last year, this will be familiar. I know that there are people here in this room as well who have done Peacewise training as part of their workplace as well. So we're going to be drawing on some of this material throughout the year, but also we have a small group course available this year for home groups. If you are wanting to dive into practical tools of how do we deal with conflict, that's going to be available. I'm going to share a few details about that in the coming weeks. But we've got these opportunities because we are called to be peacemakers. We are called not just to avoid conflict, but to work through it. So let's dive into our passage for today, which is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 to chapter 11, verse 1. And it says this. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I'm not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. Now, if this seems like a bit of a strange place to start, you would be right. this, I'm going to add a little bit of context to this. Because Paul's words here are a summing up of the arguments, the conversations that he's already been having with the church in Corinth. The book of 1 Corinthians is a letter written to the church in Corinth that was full of division. This church was full of conflict, people trying to understand, how am I meant to live? You've got people from different backgrounds who have come to know Jesus, and they have come to know that there is freedom available in Christ, but there's confusion. How does that freedom work? What are we allowed to do and what are we not allowed to do? And so Paul has been talking about relationships. He's been talking about idols. He's been talking about food. He's about to go on and talk about communion. He's talking about a wide variety of issues where there was confusion and division and conflict happening in the church. And specifically right before this passage, Paul has been talking about the question of food. Can I eat the food that I find in the marketplace? Because what if it's been sacrificed to an idol or something like that? Or what about if I go around to somebody else's house? Do I have to be one of those really fussy eaters and clarify and check everything before I am allowed to eat it? Now, the idea of food is not necessarily one of those things that relates to us. But the principle that Paul talks about in this conflict is one that does relate to us. Because when Paul seeks to help educate the church, when he seeks to guide the church as to what they are and are not allowed to do, he doesn't give them a list of exactly do this and do that. Instead, his response in verse 31 is this. So whether you eat or drink, or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Paul's words are trying to shift our attention. He's trying to shift us away from seeing things as just a list of rules and instead to see the bigger principle at work. And what Paul is talking about here is that conflict is an opportunity. See, when I talk about conflict, I'm sure that there are people here who kind of want to go in on themselves a little bit. They kind of want to shy away because for some people, conflict is one of those things that is uncomfortable and worrying and scary. Conflict is something that you want to run out of the room as quickly as you can, as soon as it comes up. And for others, your response to conflict is, this is a battle, this is a fight, and I am going to win. Now, let's not point any fingers. Paul wants us to shift away from this mindset to instead see it as an opportunity. It is something that we can actually move through, and there are rewards on the other side. It's about changing our mindset, and so today I want to take the opportunity to unpack three different opportunities that come from conflict. And the first one comes from verse 31. And that is that conflict is an opportunity to glorify God with my response. So whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Paul wants us to see that conflict's not something to be scared of, but it's an opportunity for us to worship God. Conflict is an opportunity for us to honor God, to glorify God. Now, that is not an invitation for you to go, great, I'm going to go out and cause as much conflict as I can because that's my act of worship. That's not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand me. We do not want to start fights. But when we encounter conflict, whenever conflict arises, there is friction in our relationships with others, there is an opportunity for us to pause and to ask the question, how can I honor God in this moment? What can I do to bring glory to God in this situation? How do I worship Him while this is happening? Because in conflict, our instinctive reaction is to attack or it's to run away. And yet there's another way. See, for you, maybe when you ask that question, how do I honor God in this moment? When you pause and you think about it, you realize that this argument, this fight, this disagreement, this conflict that is happening is actually something that's coming out of your own selfish desires. Maybe it's coming out of something that is not right in you. And so for you to honor God, for you to glorify God in this, it's actually for you to go to the other person and go, I'm sorry, I was wrong, I made a mistake. It's to own the fact that you were involved in that conflict. Now, that's not every conflict, but sometimes it happens because of us and our selfish desires. But maybe honoring God in a conflict for you is going, you know what, even though everything within me wants to run away from this moment, even though everything within me wants to get away from this situation, I'm actually going to choose to stay. And I'm going to choose to interact and try and work through this because I want to restore a relationship. Because this relationship matters, this relationship is important, and I'm going to honor God by seeking to restore relationship. Maybe for you, choosing to honor God in a conflict is realizing that you get really worked up. And I don't know about you, but I think about times when I've been in an argument and things get heated and all of a sudden words come out of my mouth that I don't mean. Hurtful things, things that cut, things that are not intended at all, and yet they come out. And so maybe choosing to honor God in that conflict is choosing to walk away for a time, to just take a breath and a breather and a calm down to come back and work through that conflict to restore the relationship. Or maybe choosing to honor God in a conflict is choosing to extend forgiveness to the other person. Choosing to say, I forgive you. And maybe the relationship isn't fully restored yet, but it's choosing to make that step and take that step. Or maybe honoring God in the conflict is something completely different. It's so hard to talk about this because conflict looks so different. And there are so many different examples. There are big examples and small examples. But the principle at work here is that there is an opportunity for us to honor God, to glorify God in these situations. We have the opportunity to choose to ask the question, how can I honor God in this moment? The second opportunity that we see in conflict is it is an opportunity to serve others. Verses 32 to 33 say, do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God. Even as I try to please everyone in every way, for I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. You know, I love that Paul says, whether Jews, Greeks, or the Church of God. He acknowledges that there are lots of different people out there and there are lots of different opinions. In fact, I think about who we are as a church. One of our key ideas is the fact that we are a diverse church. We hold a lot of different views on different topics. and different aspects of following God, and yet we seek to work together. And sometimes those different opinions we hold, they lead to a bit of friction, they lead to a bit of conflict. But this is an opportunity for us to serve others. Because often when we engage in conflict, our instinctive reaction is to protect ourselves. We get defensive, and so I'm going to look to me, I'm going to look to my thoughts, I'm going to look to my ideas. And here Paul's saying, what if you actually aren't the most important person in the room right now? What if in the middle of this disagreement, it's not actually your opinion that matters most? And it's choosing to push that, push our thoughts away from ourselves to other people. What if instead of choosing to protect ourselves, we instead chose to serve somebody else? Chose to hear their point of view and to build them up. I want to highlight the fact that Paul writes, even as I try to please everyone in every way. I really love that he puts that word try in there. Because Paul knows that he is not going to please everyone with everything. He's not going to please everyone with anything because there are so many different views, there are so many different ideas, and so he says try. That word try speaks to the fact that it is an attempt by himself, an intentional choice to flip his thinking away from himself to others. I love the passage that Kate read out before this message from Romans, where it talks about as far as it is able and as far much as it is up to you. Because we are only responsible for our side of the fence. We are only responsible for our actions, not other people's. And so we can try to serve others. We can try to do it. We won't always succeed. We can attempt to. And when Paul talks about not causing anyone to stumble, he's talking about those issues in our faith that don't have a clear yes or no. And just before our passage, Paul was talking about food, and in verses 27 to 30, it says this. If an unbeliever invites you to a meal and you want to go, eat whatever is put before you without raising questions of conscience. But if someone says to you, this has been offered in sacrifice, then do not eat it. Both for the sake of the one who told you and for the sake of conscience. I'm referring to the other person's conscience, not yours. For why is my freedom being judged by another's conscience? If I take part in the meal with thankfulness, why am I denounced because of something I thank God for? Paul is highlighting here that people are going to have different opinions about things. Some people are going to say, yes, you can eat that. Others are going to say, no, stay right away. But our role in that is not to try and enforce our will on somebody else. It is not to try and push them down or make sure that we are the ones who are right. Instead, we are called to serve others, to show love to them. And so while we may say, we're fine to eat that, if it's going to cause a problem for somebody else, if it's going to hurt somebody else, if it's going to damage their faith, I'm going to go without. I'm going to put somebody else's needs above my own because it doesn't matter whether I eat it or not. Even though I really, really love that roast pork, I'm going to go without it. Because that person is more important. Because this is another way that we glorify God, by choosing to love the people around us. See, in conflict, we are encouraged to ask the question, what would it look like to think about others in this moment instead of myself? And the third opportunity that conflict brings us is conflict is an opportunity to imitate Jesus. Chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." And if you are a follower of Jesus, if you are a disciple of Jesus, this is what we are called to do. We are called to imitate Jesus, to be like Jesus. That was the whole thing about rabbis having disciples. They would follow the rabbi and they would learn how to imitate them in every aspect of life. And I know that we've talked about it before, but there are records that demonstrate that it is every aspect of life. There are stories of disciples following their rabbi into the toilet so that they can copy everything. Now, thankfully, the Gospels don't have that level of information for us, but we are called to imitate Jesus, his character, his love, his actions, the way that he spoke to others, the way that he cared for others, to love like Jesus, to care like Jesus. And when it comes to conflict, to not run away from it, but to engage with it like Jesus did. Because when you read through the Gospels, there are regularly times that Jesus interacts with people through conflict. People didn't always like what Jesus had to teach. I think about when Jesus was in his hometown and people got angry and frustrated. And the way he responded. I think about the way the teachers of the law would come and challenge him. They would enter into conflict with Jesus because they weren't happy about what he was doing, and Jesus' response in each of those moments. He doesn't run away from the conflict, but he engages with it. Last year, we unpacked in our series on Mark chapter 3, starting looking at when Jesus has the teachers of the law come down from Jerusalem. And they look at what he's doing and saying, "You're doing this because you're possessed." And Jesus' response in that moment is a fascinating example of conflict resolution. Because Jesus' response is not to yell at them. Jesus' response is not to tell them to leave or get away. So Jesus called them over to him and began to speak to them in parables. Jesus responds to what they say. And he speaks to them in their language. These teachers of the law would often teach in parables, so he is engaging with them on their level, in their language. He doesn't rage at them. He doesn't call them names. What he does is he lays out the truth for them. And then he leaves it in their court. How they respond is up to them. He's only responsible for his actions. But he chooses to redeem this conflict by pushing through it and engaging with it. And I think if you go through the Gospels, if you look at every example of conflict that Jesus engages with, you would see a beautiful lesson that we can learn. But the key idea here is every time we choose to pursue peace, we have the opportunity to imitate Jesus. We have the opportunity to practice being a little bit more like Jesus, to love like Jesus did, to care like Jesus did, to support and speak the truth in love like Jesus. We have the opportunity to ask ourselves the question, how can I be like Jesus in this moment? Because conflict is uncomfortable. It's not something that people enjoy. For the most part, there may be some strange people who do. But we are called to be peacemakers. We live in a world full of conflict that is crying out for peace, for the peace that comes from God, and we are called to carry that with us. We are called to make that peace in the world around us, in our families, our workplaces, our schools, our church, and here in our beautiful town. But if we want to do that, we have to change the way that we see conflict. We have to choose to see it as an opportunity. An opportunity to glorify God, to praise Him in it. An opportunity to serve others instead of ourselves. And an opportunity to become more like Jesus. And I'm sure that as I've been sharing this morning, there have been examples in your mind of relationships that might be hurting, of situations where conflict is open. And so before I pray, I want to just give a minute for you to pause and to reflect and to invite God. To help you change the way that you view that situation. To help you invite God to change the way that you see that conflict so that you may see it as an opportunity and something to walk through and work through. So we're going to just take a minute and then I'm going to close in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, you know that in our relationships, in our interactions with others, sometimes things don't go well. There is friction, there are disagreements, there is conflict, and there are fights. And Lord, we know that you invite us to be peacemakers. You invite us to create peace in the world around us. And that does not happen just by avoiding conflict. But instead, it is about going through the conflict. And Lord, we know that that is uncomfortable. We know that that is difficult. We know that that is so incredibly hard. But Lord, I pray that you would help us to change our mindset. Lord, help us to see the hope and the truth that on the other side of conflict, there can be restoration. And Lord, help us to just pause. In those times when we experience conflict with others, help us to pause and to reflect on the ways that we can glorify you or that we can serve others. Or we can learn to be more like Jesus in our actions and our love. And Lord, help us to seize these opportunities, I pray. Lord, these things we pray in your name. Amen.